But today we're going to look at Colossians chapter 3. We're going to look at the first 11 verses. Paul writes to the church at Colossae and he says these words, "Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died. And your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourself of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all." The image on the front of your bulletin, some of you may know, comes from an incredible and wonderful series of books. If you have not read all 7 of the books of Narnia, I would strongly encourage you to read them. They are by C.S. Lewis, a man who was at one time, he professed to be an atheist. And as he studied Christianity, he came to Christ. And he was one of the largest people in England at his time in drawing people to Christ. He had a radio program, and he talked about what it meant to follow Jesus Christ. He has not only some wonderful children's books in the Book of Narnia, he also has some science fiction books, and he also has some autobiographical books, and he has some other wonderful, wonderful stories. It's an author that if you have never read any of his works, I lift him up to you. I watched in preparation for this sermon part of the Disney movie. Yes, I watched a Disney movie here at church on my computer. But I watched a piece of it about when Lucy, which is the image on the front of your bulletin, finds out how to get into Narnia. And it is through a wardrobe. She goes into the wardrobe to hide. And as she goes in that wardrobe to hide, she's backing up in all the clothes in the wardrobe. And as she backs up, there is no back to the wardrobe. And she steps out into the wonderful land of Narnia, which is an incredible image for us right now because it's all snow. Isn't that a wonderful thought right now during these past 2 weeks? I wanted to show that clip, but since it's a copyrighted movie, I can't show that clip to you here. But it's just a wonderful, wonderful image. You can go online and find it. Okay? I want you to think about that image, about going into a wardrobe and finding a brand new, all wonderful country that really, when they get there, has been frozen in the snow. And I won't ruin the story for you, but the 4 kids who end up going through the wardrobe end up meeting Jesus Christ. And I'm going to leave it right there for you. It's a children's book. Deanne and I read these books to our kids when they were young. We would read one chapter a night before bedtime. And all 3 of our kids love the wonderful and beautiful imagery that's in all 7 of those kids' books by C.S. Lewis. The first book is entitled The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. I encourage you to read it. It's a young adult's book. It won't take you long to read it. And it is wonderful. But that image of her going into the wardrobe and finding something completely new. Hold on to that for a moment. This passage is so full at the very beginning in the first four verses of baptism imagery. And that baptism imagery gives us a new perspective and a new understanding. For Baptists, the baptism image is very important for us. It symbolically shares with us and with people what goes on during baptism. What happens as God comes down and creates a new person? You see, that baptism imagery is in laying the person back in the water, they are dying to their old self. And in bringing them up out of the water, they are coming into a new life, a wonderful new life that is completely different than what they've had before. And some of Paul's words are, you have been raised with Christ. You have died. Your life is now hidden in Christ, or hidden with Christ in God. Beautiful and powerful imagery. I will never forget one young man that I baptized. Young teenager, him and his whole family were baptized one day at church. And as I baptized this young man, laid him back in the waters, and when I lifted him up out of the water, a newness came on his face that I had never seen before for anyone else in baptism. His face shone in a way that was incredible. And in his face, I could see this baptismal imagery of he had died to his old self. And as he came up out of the water, there was a complete newness to him. It enwrapped around him and enwrapped around me that day. That was an incredible moment. You see, when we are baptized, we die to our old selves. And we are resurrected into a new life, a life that is in Christ Jesus. That is in Christ Jesus. Now here's what I want to say. If we have died and come to a new life, since this is true, we need to put to death items that belong to the earthly nature. Since this is true, we need to put to death things that belong to the earthly nature. Paul has a wonderful list of them here. This is not an inclusive list by any means. But he talks about words that are images. And he talks about words that are just words that come from our mouth. The first piece of this is all about things that we no longer should participate in because we have been resurrected to a new life. Those actions should not happen anymore, and they should not be part of us. Evil desires, lust, idolatry, impurity, sexual immorality. He says those actions should no longer be part of us. But then he goes on to say that your words are just as important. Some of those things need to die. Some of you may not know, and some of you may not remember, that I worked as a shipyard worker for 12 years prior to becoming a pastor. I'll just share with you very briefly, there's a lot of words you hear in a shipyard that you don't really need to hear. And there's a lot of words that get used that don't need to be used. Amen? And Paul says those words have an effect in our lives. And those words need to be set off to the side. So he says that anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language should not come from your lips anymore. Because you have been resurrected into a new life. And that life is with Christ in God. Those things now need to be set aside. You no longer need them, and you don't have to participate there. Now, here's what I want to say, though. When you put something to death, it means it's gone. It is not something that's been set aside. Do you see the difference? Paul doesn't say set these things aside so much as he says they are put to death. They are gone. They don't exist anymore. Yes, I had to learn how to control my tongue when I became a Christian. And the guys that I was around were very, very gracious about it. Even before I became a Christian, they never corrected me. All three of them were Christians, and they didn't use any of that vocabulary. And as I used it, I realized, this is not good. And I apologized to them one day, and they said, that's okay. We understand. The grace that they gave me is I learned how to separate words that I don't need anymore. Words that tear down. Words that don't bring people encouragement. Words that might offend. And as I learned how to do that, things changed. You see, that stuff had been put to death. It was no longer there. It was gone. It was buried with Christ when Christ was buried. So now I'm resurrected into a new life. It's not something I need to participate in anymore. Paul says in the first couple of verses, though, he says what we need to do now is we need to set our hearts and our minds on things above. We need to set our hearts and our minds on things above. This is why I would say during your day, take a moment to retreat. That doesn't sound like a good thing, does it? Take a moment to retreat from what's going on in the midst of your world. Do you realize that that's what grace is when you say it before the meal? It's a time to retreat from what's going on in the world, meet with God, and refocus yourself on God. Bringing thanks to God for the meal that you're getting ready to partake. It's retreating from what's happening in the midst of this world. It's not being active in the world, but it's being active with God at that moment. Take times during the day to retreat, to move back, to separate yourselves, so that you can set your mind and your heart on things above. Your mind and your heart on things above. When things get hectic, talked with the youth this morning, we'll talk about it on Wednesday night, about prayer, but I talked with them about a breath prayer. A prayer that I can say as I breathe. And as I inhale, I say, awesome Lord. And as I exhale, I say, refresh me. It's a way to bring into the midst of what's happening in my day, a way that I can focus back on God. And I will repeat that over and over again. Awesome Lord, refresh me. And I'll talk on Wednesday night how to develop a breath prayer that will be helpful for you. But it's a time to focus. It's a time to set my sights on God, not on things in the midst of the world. Now here's where I came with the image and thinking about Narnia and thinking about new clothes. Because Paul talks about this in these verses, in verses 9 and 10, and the second half of 9, and the first half of 10. He says, since you have taken off your old self with its practices, and have put on the new self. It's like taking old clothes off and putting new clothes on. I thought partially this week about bringing my Levi's jean jacket. I know some of you are of the age that you will identify with this, and some of you won't. But in high school, that's what everybody wanted. Everybody wanted a Levi's jeans jacket. That was a status symbol if you had one. And guess what? My parents never bought me one. So when I got my own money, what was one of the first things I bought? My Levi's jeans jacket, so I could be cool. So I could have a status symbol, so I could be... I almost brought it today, but here's the reason why I didn't bring it. I was going to put it on as I was preaching and just wear it because that's cool. Okay, the sleeves are partially rolled up and you only button the bottom button. Anybody identify with me what I'm talking about? You don't button all the buttons up. I don't know why they're there. You just button that bottom button, and I wore mine so much that that bottom buttonhole won't hold the button anymore. Okay? Because I wore it while I worked on ships. Basically, because it had big pockets here on the inside. It's amazing how many tools you can fit inside them pockets, and you don't have to carry your toolbox. Here's the reason I didn't bring it. Not because I don't fit in it anymore, because I still do. Every time I wore it, both Deanne and all three of my kids would say this, "Dad, take that off. Dad, take that off." I mean, it's clean, but it looks dirty. It's got stains on it. It's been washed. Okay? But they always say, "Dad, take that off. No, we don't like that." They didn't want to be seen with me wearing it. And I'm like, "You guys just don't understand. This jacket is important." And there's some important things like that that maybe we need to set aside. That maybe we need to take off. That maybe we need to set aside and leave off to the side. It's this image that Paul has here about new clothes. Taking off the old ways and the old things and the old lifestyle and putting on the new clothes. You know, if I still had my Clint Eastwood cowboy hat, I probably would have brought my jacket. But I can't find that. I don't know where that thing disappeared to over the years. But I can't find it. But you know, it's taking off and putting on something new. It's looking at our lives and trying to understand, what is it that I need to set aside? And Paul says sometimes there's some actions that we need to set aside. Sometimes there's some words that we need to set aside. Sometimes we need to put on new clothes so that we can be in the image of Jesus Christ. Because look at what he says. He says, this new self is about being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. This new self is about being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. You see, being a Christian is about setting aside Tim and becoming more like Christ. Setting aside who Tim is and Tim's desires and becoming more like Jesus Christ. Being able to meet people where they are. Talk with them about what's important to them. Very rarely will you ever see me walk up to someone and immediately talk to them about Jesus Christ and what they need to do to get saved. Because what I want to do first is find out what they know. Where are they? Maybe they've heard the story of Jesus Christ, but they just haven't put on the new clothes for one reason or another. Maybe they know about what God has offered to them, but they haven't put on the new clothes. They haven't found the new world. They haven't found that bright and shining place. You see, if you go and read the books of Narnia, and if you watch the movie, you'll find that as Lucy steps back through the wardrobe and she finds this wonderful place that is covered with snow and is frozen, as she continues to walk into the midst of this world, this new world that she has found, that she has no idea what to know about it, there's a lamppost. And in the midst of a frozen, solid world, in a world that has been harmed by this frozenness, there's a light that's shining. There's a light that's bringing incredible brightness right there in the midst of the forest, in the midst of this meadow that's covered over with snow. The light is how you find your way back into the other world. But the light also is bringing God's light into this midst of this world of Narnia. Even as it's frozen over. I'm trying not to destroy the story for you, because I do want you to go read it. It's a wonderful and powerful story. And I wonder if we were to step to the back of our wardrobes, what would we find? Are we just going to find the old jeans jacket that just needs to be worn? I mean, I'm going to have to wear it to church one day now, right? Amen? And I can be cool, and that can be my status. Right? Some of you understand that. The younger kids are just looking at me like, I don't know what you're talking about. Because I don't have any idea what the new thing is. My kids are in their 20s now. I know what it is for them. It's definitely in a jean jacket for them. But if we step in the back of our wardrobes, what might we find that we need to get rid of? And what might we need to put on new? Get rid of because it's died, it's gone, it's over with. What might we need to put on? So here's what I would like for you to especially think about. When you consider your life, when you consider your life, what needs to be put to death so that you can be more like Christ? And what new clothing should you put on because you're a Christian? What needs to be put to death, set aside, done away with, never pick up again, whether it's an action or whether it's words? And what new clothes do you need to put on? Let me give you the imagery of baptism in the first church. They would come dressed as they are. They would take those clothes off and be baptized. And as they came out of the baptismal waters, they would put on a white robe, symbolizing the new life. And by the way, people didn't make a confession one week for Christ and be baptized the next. They often prepared them through classes that went a year long before they allowed people to be baptized. Because as you came into Christ, you immediately were setting yourselves up to be persecuted by that world in that day and age. Families would separate from you because you believed in Christ. They would consider you gone and no more. And these people needed to be prepared and ready for that. What do you need to set aside? What do you need to put to death so that it's gone? And what new thing do you need to put on because now you're in Jesus Christ? Let us pray. Almighty and gracious Father, we do come this morning looking to you, looking to your grace and your mercy, looking to your peace and your comfort. And Lord, we have made a confession to accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And yet sometimes we have a hard time with that. We have a difficult time with that. So show us what we need to set aside, so that we truly can become more like Jesus Christ. What can we put to death so that it's no longer there and we never can pick it up again? And what do we need to pick up anew? Guide us, Lord, so that we can change this town that we live in, so that we can change this county, this state, this country, and this world. Because we've put on the new clothes of being Jesus Christ. In your name we pray. Amen.